And welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Taylor Haggerty. This week, Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes is our guest. Thanks for being with us. You can call in your questions by dialing 765-496-1999, send an email to ask@wbaa.org, or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
Taylor, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. So we're going to start out. There is a new mural in downtown Frankfort, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. The students in Frankfort worked with the city to put the mural on West 51 downtown, and you've mentioned public art as part of the downtown revitalization effort. So how does this mural fit into those plans?
Well, I'm so proud of these young people, Taylor. So this is a group called the Frankfort Future Leaders Advisory Council. We founded this group 8 years ago. And really the mission is to empower our youth to make transformational changes in the community, not just talking about giving our youth a voice, but really getting them involved in policy implementation and capital projects. These young people have been a part of designing some beautiful gateway signs that speak to the historic value of our community. They have created the Gem City sculpture that now sits proudly on Clinton Street. They also created a really unique and thrifty hot dog bun bench that's directly next to the Gem City sculpture in front of Frankie's and Pepe's. And now they commissioned a beautiful new inclusive mural, as you mentioned, on the west side of 51 West. And we want to thank Dr. Jill Snyder, the building owner who created this beautiful venue. And our youth, what they do is they work with our city council every year. They establish a budget line item. If there are any overruns in their projected project, they have to go out and find grants. So it's really a hands-on way to show them the public bidding process and really a public works process from start to finish. There are a lot of obstacles. They had an initial building that they wanted to put this mural on. It didn't work out, so they had to pivot. They had to find another building. They had to make that pitch to the building owner. They had to find an artist. They had to come up with a design that would work for the community. And we want to thank the Tippecanoe County Arts Federation. They were a huge part of this project. And so now we invite people to come to downtown Frankfort, get a picture in front of this inclusive mural, hashtag Gem City, hashtag beautiful Frankfort downtown. And now this is really becoming, it's kind of becoming a trend in downtown Frankfort. We have Nickel Alley between ACCS and Nickel Plate Flats that has a beautiful mural on it. And I hear also that our public library is working with the owners of Frankie's Coffee Shop and also Nickel Plate Lofts to put a beautiful mural on the east side of that building. So I think inclusive murals and murals are really going to become a part of what downtown Frankfort is. It adds vibrancy. It adds unique opportunities for photos that then can go on social media and promote downtown Frankfort. But ultimately, I'm just really proud of these young people and what they've done for our community.
So this mural was in part a project from some students, as you've mentioned. What else are you doing to include locals and residents in the downtown revitalization efforts?
Well, a huge part of what we've done in the downtown and the visioning was the implementation of our downtown revitalization plan. And we had over 60 community members that were involved in the creation of that DRP. We had teachers, we had students, we had downtown building owners, business owners, we had industrial leaders, members of our Chamber of Commerce, not-for-profits, and then just really concerned citizens from throughout the community. They created a vision. They created a 160-page vision of what our downtown needed to become vibrant. That plan can be found on frankfort-in.gov underneath the mayor's tab if anyone wants to check that out and look at it. And so now we're trying to implement that plan. So Prairie Creek Park, public art, more downtown living opportunities, which we've created through the urban loft living opportunities at Nickel Plate Lofts and Nickel Plate Flats, what Dr. Jill Snyder is doing at 51 West, supporting those efforts through our facade grants, through our redevelopment commission, where it's necessary, property tax abatements, which our city council has supported in an effort to revitalize our downtown. And then look at what our Chamber of Commerce is doing, opening up the beautiful new Iron Block building with a co-working space that really mimics what the folks have done so beautifully in Lafayette with the Matchbox Studios. So for a smaller community, there's a lot happening in our downtown, and it was all started by the vision that was created by the people that call Frankfort home.
And speaking of making some improvements to the downtown area, there were a couple of buildings that burned down recently or earlier this year, and you've mentioned bringing some other developments to that space, like a parking garage. Is that still an option for those portions of the downtown area to bring that parking garage there?
When I talk to citizens of this community who are 70, 80, even 90 years old, they joke with me and they said, Chris, you know, we had a parking problem in the downtown back when there was horse and buggies. And, you know, they remember reading news headlines in the 50s and 60s talking about parking issues in the downtown. You know, I think if we want to grow our downtown and we really want to be bold about our small town USA vision and making our downtown all it can be, you know, we're focusing on filling up our storefronts, Prairie Creek Park. We're going to have events going on throughout the year once that park is open with wonderful new musical headlines. You know, looking at what our restaurants are doing downtown, we have many more women's clothing boutiques, which is also kind of becoming a niche in downtown Frankfort. I think we're going to have to get bold with this parking issue that we have. And that is one idea that's been floated around, not only by some elected officials, but citizens that I've talked to and appointed officials. You know, we have a lot of big projects right now that the city is taking on. We're getting ready to begin the process of financing a new aquatic center at TPA Park. We have a new police station that we're building. Of course, we're building Prairie Creek Park right now. So I think we have to be conservative going into a project like this, but also look at the possibilities of that space, specifically where those buildings burnt down. Look at maybe a 3 or 4 story parking garage around, 300 to 350 parking spaces. Build a facade on it that makes it fit with the downtown historical architecture, and maybe that would be a proper place to put that. But we did learn through that DRP process that the parking issue is something that we're going to have to constantly battle, and if we really want to tackle it, we're going to need a parking structure, and there's no two ways around that.
You mentioned the police department, and a report came out last week showing police arrests are down slightly from this time last year. I wanted to ask, whenever stats like this come out, one of the questions that comes up is that reflective of the amount of crime that's happening in the community? Has that gone down, or does it show a shift in how the police department is approaching these kinds of issues?
I'm sorry, Taylor, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, what would your response be to that line of questioning?
Great question. So I'd have two responses to that. I think there's two key things that have really impacted crime. Number one, I really think that our citizens, you know, the community policing model that our chief and deputy chief have built over the past 8 years is connecting them with the community. In order to drive down crime effectively, it's not just government. It's not just police officers. It's citizens. No one knows their neighborhoods better than them. And when you create those open lines of communication and people are calling in tips, people are letting central dispatch know when something doesn't feel right, or they see an odd car, or they see odd movements at a neighbor's house during all hours of the night and day. You know, those things allow us to do our job more effectively. So I think that's one reason we've seen Frankfort become the 8th safest city in Indiana. And as you mentioned, crime is down roughly 15% in comparison to where it was this time last year. But also, I can't emphasize enough the work that our police officers are doing, the interdiction training, the leadership training, also the resources that our police officers now have. You know, we put 2 canine officers on the streets that can detect narcotics in a car or on an individual. We now have school resource officers in every single school in the city of Frankfort. So they have the tools they need to do their job. And then simply the hires that we're making. You know, it's no different than a major corporation, whether it be Eli Lilly or Purdue University. We want to hire the best of the best. And so what we've tried doing is getting our salaries in line with where our competitors are paying their police officers. We're trying to make sure that our officers know we're going to take care of them when it comes to health insurance and or the resources, the tools, the materials they need to do their job effectively, and then just also giving them moral support and creating a team culture within the police department. And when you do all of that, you see public safety stars just rise to the surface. And so our men and women are doing a wonderful job. And one more thing I'll add is, because this has been talked about on the national level as of late, when I came into office, you know, our police force was not diversified. And I believe a police force needs to reflect the demographics of a community. You know, we've added our first female officers in the past 8 years. We've added our first Latino officers. We've added our first African-American officers in the last 8 years. And I think that's very important. It's very important in connecting with the community and really adding a well-rounded mission and sense of value structure when it comes to public safety.
So how has adding those new hires, specifically Latinx or women, how has bringing them on changed the dynamic between the Frankfort Police Department and the community that they're covering?
Well, I think, number one, it creates a better working atmosphere within the department. I think individuals with diverse views and different approaches on life, it makes everyone better. It gives us the opportunity to approach situations more comprehensively, as opposed to if someone was raised a certain way, maybe you're a little bit more narrow-minded. It also allows us to connect with the community better. Again, you know, our main mission in policing is creating that community policing model, working with the people that we serve, creating relationships that aren't just, oh my goodness, I hate the police, they're horrible. Because normally when people see the police, it's not a good situation, especially young people. We want our young people to connect with our police officers, to look up to them, to respect them like all Americans should, individuals that are putting their lives on the line every day. And you can't do that unless you have a police force that truly reflects the demographics and the diversity of a community. So, you know, if there's a young woman that's having a domestic violence issue, you know, we can have one of our female officers approach that individual. If we have an individual that's a minority that feels as though, hey, I don't have anyone that I can trust, having those officers on our police force helps with those conversations. And I believe gives us a better policing model all around. I'm proud of those hires. I'm proud of what they're doing. And I think the data reflects the amazing job that the Frankfort Police are doing right now.
So with changing these procedures and putting in new policing practices, is there the potential for folks to sort of work around those and come up with new ways to sort of go about finding loopholes and things like that? Is there a potential to find flaws in these policies that you've put in place as they're being implemented?
I think you can never become complacent. I'm not going to sit here and say we are exactly where we need to be. I think if any mayor told you that, they wouldn't be truthful. We're constantly looking at how we can become better, how we can become more effective. If we come across a policy that needs tweaked, we'll do that. I'm not too proud to say that. When I came into office, we didn't even have implementation of police-worn body cameras. Obviously, we know now in the society that we live in how incredibly important that is. I mean, looking at the situation in South Bend, if that body-worn camera was turned on, if there was a proper policy, if individuals were following that policy, who knows? Could have made all the difference. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But it's small things like that that, you know, you don't think it can happen to you and your community. Yes, it can. So to answer your question bluntly, there's always unintended consequences to every decision you make. I think as a leader, you have to put people in place. You have to believe in them. I try not to micromanage. But when we find out about an issue, we're going to brainstorm as a Board of Works. We're going to brainstorm as a city council. And then we are going to effectively tweak those policies to make those adjustments so we're serving the people of Frankfort the best we can.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. We're here with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 765-496-1999. Send an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet a question at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, I wanted to jump back because you mentioned the officers that have been put in place in the community schools. And I noticed both Community Schools of Frankfort and the Clinton Prairie School Corporation have received grants recently to help care for students in terms of mental health and general well-being. What will those grants actually do in the schools, and what will they go toward?
Oh, I think it's so incredibly important. And obviously, Taylor, you know, and you know, local government's complex. So just for the listeners to know, obviously, and we have an elected school board in Frankfort that governs all of those grants and oversees the budget for the school. I'm here, you know, as mayor, I like to be a chief cheerleader for the community. And anytime I can partner with our schools, I do so because it's so very important, whether it be Frankfort Future Leaders Advisory Council or working with our great superintendent and school board to implement school resource officers across the board. You know, I'll speak broadly to this and what these grants could do both at Clinton Prairie, my wife's alma mater, and Frankfort, my alma mater. I believe mental health is a huge issue that is still very much stigmatized in our community, and that also encompasses addiction as well. A couple things that I think when you look at the gun violence that's happened across our country, when you look at the flood of opioids and the epidemic that our society is facing, I think much of this, if not 99.9% of it, goes back to mental health issues. And these people need to know that these aren't character flaws necessarily in all cases. You know, some individuals, this is a real illness, and they need help. And until we get through to our young people that it's okay to ask for help, and that's why you're seeing sports stars like Michael Phelps come out and say, listen, you know, I'm one of the best Olympians of all time, but I had mental health issues, and I had to reach out to a counselor, and because of that helped, you know, get my life back on track. He wasn't too proud to say that. We need to be doing that with our young people, because unfortunately what we've seen in society is a breakdown of the family structure. Okay, when I grew up, I was incredibly fortunate. My parents were in good health. They stay together. They're together to this day. Without that family structure, Taylor, who knows where I'd be right now? I might not be a mayor, but they kept me on the straight and narrow, and then I made decisions according to the values that they taught me growing up: respect, hard work, integrity. Not all of our young people have that. And, you know, look at the burden that's put on our teachers nowadays and our guidance counselors. Not only do they have to teach for their students to pass standardized tests, not only do they have to teach the curriculum that's dictated by the state of Indiana, but they also then have to step in the role sometimes of being a parent and helping these young individuals mature. And that's not fair that all of that is put upon them. I think, you know, you look at police officers, teachers, military, we could never pay these individuals enough. So if these grants can go to bringing more resources to help our young people combat real serious mental health issues that I look is no differently than diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis, and help them get through that in their life and help take some of that burden off the teachers so they can actually do the job that they were hired to do, I'm all for it, and I applaud the school systems for being aggressive and going after these grants.
So there are a couple other proposed safety measures that are relatively new when you're looking at schools and what they can implement. Have any of the school districts in Frankfort applied for grants that go toward things like teacher firearm training or other options that are still relatively new?
I don't believe the teacher firearm training has come up. I do know that at least the Frankfort Community School Systems, I believe, applied for a grant to obtain hand wands that detect metal or something like a gun or a knife or a weapon, and I know that grant was successful here a couple years back, so that has been implemented. So I know our school superintendent, Don DeWeese, when we went to him, and we went to him right after the Noblesville incident, because that one really, really hit close to home, and Chief and I said, we can't wait any longer. We've got to get this implemented, and that was at the end of the school year. So we had about 2.5 months to work with our city council, make it work in the budget, and get these SROs both hired and trained and into our schools. They were all for it. And without that cooperation between the city and our school board and our school superintendent, that would have never happened. So I can honestly say that they are keeping our student safety in mind. They're willing to partner with outside resources. They're willing to go after these grants, whether it be mental health or for the metal detecting wands that they received. And I'm proud to call this community home and have leaders that do things like that.
So we're going to jump around a little bit and start talking about the Clinton County Fair, because that's underway this week in Frankfort. How is Frankfort getting involved in the festivities this year?
It's been a lot of fun. I'll tell you, we kicked it off last weekend with the fair parade, and of course my wife and I walked in that. Our Frankfort Fire Department and our Frankfort police officers and our first responders helped lead the entire parade. The parade was wonderful, and I've really got to give a hand to Jamie Blacker and the Fair Council and what they've done out there. It's really a dandy fair this year, and we invite everyone to come out through this weekend and enjoy the Clinton County Fair. The Midway is beautiful. The Edward Jones Building, the 4-H kiddos are doing a great job. Of course, they'll have their livestock auction this Friday night around 6 or 7 o'clock at the livestock barn. I really encourage individuals to get out and support our 4-H'ers. And then I've been out at the fair almost every night, not every night. We had the state fair queen come to our city here 2 days ago, and we worked with both Russ Casper, WILO, Shan Sheridan of our Chamber of Commerce, Jamie Blacker, our Fair Council president, and we really wanted to host her. She got a tour of Frito-Lay, Camp Cullum, local businesses, and then we spent time with her at the Clinton County Fair. So we're trying to partner with the fair in whatever way possible to put our best foot forward, because this is really a quality of place initiative. It's giving our citizens something to do, and then it's also attracting in outside people into our community. And when they do come here, not only do they spend money at the fair, but they may go to a local restaurant, they may go to a local gas station or business. So this is a driver to the local economy. And then, you know, our 4-H'ers, I look at that program, that's creating the leaders of tomorrow, the values, the mission that program is all about. I'm just floored by the amount of work that these young people put into these projects, whether it be photography or showing of livestock. So I encourage people to get out, spend some time, because our fair is just getting better and better. And then, you know, I do, and I know our fair council's working on this, and I encourage our commissioners and our county council in the future to look towards even more upgrades to our fairgrounds. I think it could be a shining example of progress, not only in Frankfort, but Clinton County, and something that we could all be very proud of.
The county also asked the community for input on what to bring to the fair this year. So what did they ask for? What's new?
Well, I can tell you the Midway seems much more robust. The rides, the games that individuals can play, and I'll tell you the food options. And it's really nice in the Edward Jones building. I know some individuals it's hard to get out in this heat. And sometimes it can be downright dangerous. The Edward Jones building is now completely air-conditioned. The Expo Hall, which is right next door to the Edward Jones building, they have some McAllister generators out there from Caterpillar, and that building is also being flown with some air conditioning. So for especially individuals that are retired or have a problem with this heat, they can come out to the fair, they can get inside in some air conditioning, enjoy a home-cooked meal by someone like Hoops, or go into the Expo Hall, check out some 4-H exhibits, or talk to one of our local not-for-profits. And that's a really nice addition this year to the fair, Taylor, that we haven't had in the past, and it's really making a big difference for people.
Has asking for input from residents, does it seem like that's brought in an increase in attendance or participation in the fair?
You know, I'll tell you, and I'll be honest, not sitting on the boards and the councils, I'm not going to speak for the fair council, but just being a citizen going out there, I mean, I'll tell you what, my wife and I were floored last night at the lines. And now last night was buddy night or bracelet night, so you had unlimited rides for a small amount of money. But I'm telling you, the Midway was packed last night, and as long as the weather's been good this week, the fair's gotten really good traffic. So off the cuff, I'd tell you, I think attendance is up in comparison to years of past. The Demolition Derby, which I believe was this past Sunday night, I think, or Monday, yeah, Sunday night, the grandstands were packed. So that's really encouraging to see.
You did mention the weather a couple times. The National Weather Service in Indianapolis has issued an excessive heat watch through Sunday of this week. Is the weather impacting the fair activities at all?
Well, like I said, 2 nights ago when we had the rain, that's the night that we were lucky enough to have the State Fair Queen come and visit us. Obviously, we had some heavy rainfall, and so attendance looked to be a little bit down that night. And it seems as though the fair is getting much, much busier around 7:30 or 8 o'clock when the sun starts to go down. It starts to get a little bit cooler, and individuals come out and spend an hour or an hour and a half at the fair when temps are down a little bit. So, yeah, I believe the temperatures do impact things a bit. But I'll tell you, on Sunday afternoon, I walked the entire fair parade route, and the streets were packed. So people seem to be bringing out water. They had their umbrellas. They had their fold-out camping tents that they usually cook under when they go to a campground, and they seem to be beating the heat that way. But I do stress to all people, just like you mentioned, if you're going to be outside, make sure to stay hydrated and know that the Edward Jones building, the Fair Expo Hall, those buildings are air-conditioned. You can get in out of the heat. You can sit down. You can take a break and still enjoy the fair safely.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. We're here with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes this week. If you have any questions, you can call 765-496-1999, send an email to ask@wbaa.org, or tweet us at WBAA News on Twitter. Now, in the last few minutes here, I wanted to touch on, you've been going over the 2020 city budget at recent Common Council meetings, and you stated that the numbers for the golf course weren't likely to look good in 2020. How is the work going to improve the course and to turn a profit there?
Well, I'm very worried about that, and that's been a big point of contention in the community. Here, 6 or 7 years back, we had a golf course that was owned by four different entities. We've consolidated that. The city of Frankfort has stepped up. We have taken that on in our operating budget under our economic development income tax line item. So no property taxes are going towards that, but we do have an income tax budget for economic development that we're flowing dollars there. And how we operate our golf course right now is we hire a third-party management firm at a set price. So this year it's $150,000. They take that money and then they take on the rest of the risk. So, you know, if they net $10,000 or if they lose $30,000 at the end of the year, the city isn't expected to make up that deficit. And our council and myself, we've decided that that amount of money is justifiable in regards to the recreational amenity that our golf course brings to our community and the fact that it's connected to the TPA Park, which is our largest park here in the city of Frankfort. I've made those comments to prepare the council because here's the thing. We've had a very, very wet year, and that's nothing anyone can control, but we've lost a lot of days of golf, especially this April and May due to the weather. So although I have not seen the round numbers from our third-party management company, I am fearful that those round numbers will be down this year. Now, maybe I could be pleasantly surprised. We'll see, but that's going to be my guess. Now, when that happens, you never know. The management company could come back and say, listen, we're going to need some more money to make that work. If that's the case, I think it's going to be incredibly hard as we move into the future to continue that structure of operation. But here's what we have going for us. 7 years ago, our course, and I'll just say it, it was in deplorable conditions. And my father was a golf professional, and so I was around the business growing up. The fairways, the tee boxes, the rough, the greens, the bunkers, just wasn't in good condition. Our irrigation system wasn't working. We didn't have the right tools to take care of the golf course. We have remedied that over the past 3 to 4 years. We have a new fleet of grounds equipment. We have a new fleet of golf carts. The condition of our golf course, I would put up next to any in this area. So I encourage people to come over and check out the Frankfort Commons if you haven't, because you're going to have a wonderful day. The service is great. The greens are rolling great. The tee boxes are great. And if you keep it in the fairway, it's going to be very smooth. We have a challenging golf course. And because we've done all that, Taylor, I think moving forward, we should stay open-minded about different structures of operation. Maybe we can pivot away from the third-party management agreement and find local individuals or another local operation to potentially lease the course from the city of Frankfort, knowing that they have a better opportunity to garner play, you know, as long as you don't have an incredibly wet year like this 2019 has. They have the tools, they have the equipment to run and operate this golf course, or potentially maybe moving forward, maybe the city of Frankfort looks at selling our golf course. Here's the one thing I do know. We have to have a golf course in our city. We cannot lose this recreational amenity. So I look forward to working with our council, but I have wanted to caution them. I think that's my job as a CEO to say, hey, listen, the numbers might come back a little bleak, and we might really have to work hard as a group to make sure we have golf next year for our constituents. But I am dedicated to making sure we have a golf course in the city of Frankfort one way or another, but it all has to be financially responsible.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's all we have time for today. So Mayor McBarnes, thank you for being with us this week. You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Crawfordsville. Send us your questions at ask@WBAA.org or tweet us at WBAA News on Twitter. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.